Now, we've talked quite a lot this year about the Magna Carta, it being the anniversary and so on, and lots of celebrations about it, and indeed the four remaining original documents being on display, etc., etc. The points have been made, and made over and over again, that this is an important document, not least because it is the foundational document for the freedoms and the sense of the way in which freedom and rights should be constructed within British society. It's very, very important. Albeit, of course, when it was first sealed, the rights and the freedoms were solely for those who had a bit of money and a bit of influence. But the principles were there. And that's the key thing, isn't it? The principles were there. So it's very interesting for me, in this year of celebration about Magna Carta, to see a way in which some of the legislators in our nation are talking about revising rights and freedoms and so on. And of course, some of the concerns that a lot of us have been expressing for a long time about the way in which religious freedom and religious rights are impacted by modern legislation. So the new book entitled Magna Carta Unraveled, the fact that it suggests that perhaps those original freedoms are being ridden roughshod over or even ignored by modern legislation was something that caught my attention. And the contributing author of that concept to the book is Professor Roger Trigg. He is Emeritus Professor of Philosophy at Warwick University, and I'm pleased to say he's on the line with me today. Welcome to UCB, Roger.
Oh, well, good morning.
Yeah. Let's start with this idea that the Magna Carta is being ignored. Does it really matter if it is being laid and assigned to history rather than made relevant today?
Well, I think it does, because of course it probably means that the principles that are laid out in Magna Carta may not be in the forefront of people's minds anyway. I was in the United States at Christmas and they had a special exhibition in the Library of Congress about Magna Carta with a Lincoln copy there, and I was struck by how much it matters there, but it doesn't seem to matter here so much. I think it's very important that we see that the first clause of Magna Carta is that the English Church shall be free and have a whole rights. In other words, they start with the idea of religious freedom. That's the basis of the state. And I think that all too often is forgotten.
But would that have been, at the time when that was written, at the time when that was sealed, would that have been a concept that actually, well, would they have recognised the modern concept of religious freedom in that? I mean, was that not simply a statement of the role and the importance of the church and faith in society and in the state?
Well, yes, but you've started to open up the discussion there by saying, and of faith, because what Magna Carta is really saying is the state is not the final authority. The state does not, in the end, tell us what's right and wrong. What's right and wrong depends on the whole way of the universe is created. In other words, it depends on God. It's very striking that people don't read the preamble to Magna Carta nowadays, but it makes it clear that it is a very religious document. Know ye that we in the presence of God for the salvation of our soul, unto the honour of God. John goes on like that. And it therefore was written consciously in the sight of God with the idea that Christian principles underlay the state and were prior to the state. It's a bit like the crown. The cross is on top of the crown. The crown is subservient to the cross. The authority of the state depends on the authority of God.
And you make the point that in some ways the institutions of faith and the institutions of Christianity act as a sort of buffer between the state and people to protect people's rights, freedoms.
Yes, I think that's very important. It is a point that has been made recently even in the United States Supreme Court, that in a free society it's not enough to have the state and the individual. You need something to nourish nurture individuals. You need places where they can be taught what's right and wrong, mainly churches, other religious institutions, but also other institutions in society, universities, trade unions and so on. If they're all wiped away and we just have the state and the individual, the state takes more and more power, more and more authority, and in the end we're just creatures of the state, and that's incredibly dangerous.
So what do you think it is being eroded or even ignored in modern society about what principles of Magna Carta are being ignored?
I think the whole idea that religion is important in society. I don't think it's a coincidence that the first clause relates to the church. I mean, people say that Magna Carta was partly inspired by the work of Archbishop Stephen Langton, the Archbishop of Canterbury at the time. But I think it was also recognised that the church was, in many ways, symbolically the basis of society. Now, in the United States First Amendment to the Constitution, religious freedom is mentioned as the first freedom. Americans talk of the first freedom. And even if we don't think that there is a hierarchy of rights, even if all rights are equal, religious freedom is there at the basis of any idea of a free society. And I think nowadays people are talking about equality, diversity, respecting difference, but they don't respect the religious conscience, and they don't respect the freedom of individuals to live as they think important. And you can't have democracy unless you can live in a way that you think is most important.
It's part of the problem we've created a sense that faith, and I think probably even outside of religion, that faith and ideology and perspective is a subjective thing, that it is down to the individual rather than something that is an objective thing, something that applies to all.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I mean, I'm a philosopher, of course, and I've always stressed that faith, religious faith, is a belief in things that are true. Now, of course, whether they are true or not is a matter of discussion, but if you believe that they're true, you can't discount the fact that they're true for everybody, and therefore they matter, or should matter, for everybody. Now, that doesn't mean you force it down other people's throats, but it does mean you're believing something of universal importance. And nowadays, the tendency is to say, oh, well, yes, religion is a very subjective thing. Some people go to church on Sundays, some people play golf. Well, what you do is up to you, it's your hobby. But religion isn't like that. It's about the place of people, humans, in the scheme of things. And that's tremendously important.
So what is happening in society? What impact is it having on us if these principles of Magna Carta are being, as you say, ignored or even ridden roughshod over?
Well, I think that there's a tremendous vacuum opening up. I think you can see it in the talk that the government produces about British values and the importance of the rule of law. I noticed that a few days ago the Prime Minister was quite rightly attacking the extremist ideology of some Islamists, the kind of thing that results in what's going on in Syria, and he's talking about their extremist beliefs that religious doctrine, and I'm quoting, trumps the rule of law, and the notion of a caliphate trumps the nation state, and there is a justification of violence to pursue those ends. But the phrase religious doctrine trumps the rule of law, and that being put forward as an extremist view, is, I think, a very questionable view. Mm. Magna Carta says religion does trump the rule of law in the sense that it underpins it. It's the authority of the Christian religion that comes first that justifies the rule of law.
But is that the actual issue of fear there? That, as you say, Magna Carta says it underpins it. Is actually the fear of modern society that it undermines it?
Yes. Well, I think people are looking at some bad religion and then saying all religion is like that. Therefore, religion at the best should be privatized. It should play no part in the public square. And as I was saying, if religion is claiming truth, it does matter for everybody. So we all ought to take account of it. Now, I think what's happening in this country is that we've lost our Christian roots, our Christian heritage. Magna Carta depended on that, and therefore the principles enunciated in Magna Carta rather float free without any idea of how you justify them. And that's terribly dangerous. We're living in a vacuum. I mean, talk about British values are fine, but what are those values? What justifies them? Where do they come from?
Yes.
Without a Christian basis, we lose the roots on which this country depend.
So what level of responsibility should the church take, and perhaps as well, what should we do to actually address that?
Well, I think the church should be more confident of its own beliefs. Now, again, as I say, it shouldn't force its beliefs on other people, but it should firmly believe that what it holds is true, that it holds a message that is for people's benefit, that people will be better off if they're Christians. They'll live better in this life, and I, as a Christian, believe that this life has an eternal significance too. But I so often look at people, I was a magistrate for many years, and look at people making a mess of their lives, and I thought, well, if only they were living according to Christian principles, they wouldn't have got into this state. So Christian principles aren't there just to say you shouldn't do things you want to do. They're there to guide people in ways which will help them and other people.
And if we ignore that, then perhaps society ignores it at its peril. There's an interesting quote that has been passed to me from Professor Trigg. It says this: the reality is that there are differences of opinion, but the purpose of democracy is to enable us to live together, even though we have deep disagreements. Democracy will not flourish through the deliberate suppression of the views of any minority. The future of democracy depends on respecting difference and, above all, allowing minorities to live according to their own priorities as far as possible within a common framework. That's the essence of it, isn't it? Of mutual respect and a willingness to let people follow their path within reason and within that common framework. And that perhaps as Christians, we need to be more willing to say that's what we want to do as well, especially if we see our rights and our perspective undermined, sidelined, and eroded by modern language. It's a fascinating idea and a fascinating book called Magna Carta Unraveled. Professor Trigg is one of the contributors. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much.